Good morning, everybody. I'm presenting a paper on behalf of one of our PhD students who was unable to attend the conference today, so I will do my best to present his results. So he's been looking at the effects of urease and nitrification inhibitors on the soil microbial communities, not just the targeted organisms, but also other microbes that are in the soil. So as many of you are aware, because we've been talking about these compounds for a while, we know that these nitrification and urease inhibitor compounds are capable of improving the efficiency of nitrogen use, but we also know that there's a high degree of variability in how well these inhibitor compounds work. And largely people have looked just at the soil chemistry aspects of soil properties, but more recently, I guess over the last few years, people have started looking at the importance of the microbial community structure in terms of how well these different inhibitors work, particularly looking at the nitrification inhibitors in terms of how the different microbes involved in nitrification are affected by the inhibitors. So in the process of urea hydrolysis through to ammonium and ammonia and then nitrification, we know that there's a number of different microbes involved in that. So the first step of nitrification is carried out by ammonia oxidizers, and they have this MOA gene that we can use to identify them. In those ammonia oxidizers, we have the bacteria or the archaea, and the understanding is that they behave differently in terms of the effect of the nitrification inhibitors on them. We also have nitrite oxidizers involved in the second step of nitrification. And the nitrification inhibitors work on this first step of ammonia oxidation. There's also the hydrolysis of urea, which is facilitated with the urease enzyme, and that's the gene encoding for that is uric. And the urease inhibitors act on that hydrolysis process. So what OBED has been looking at is whether a nitrification inhibitor might actually work on this inhibiting urea hydrolysis as well. And the reason for that thought is that the ammonia oxidising archaea may also have the gene encoding for uric. And then he's also interested in whether the urease inhibitor has an effect on nitrification and also on denitrification. So in the denitrification process, where he's interested in looking at N2O emissions and losses as N2, there's a couple of genes encoding for the nitrate reductase or nitrous oxide reductase, and he's interested in looking at whether the nitrification and urease inhibitors affect those processes as well. So in the talk today, I'm just going to be looking at some of the preliminary results he's got in this first part of his experimental work. So his aims were to look at the effect of urea plus this urease inhibitor NBPT on soil mineral nitrogen dynamics and nitrogen cycling and these MOA and USC genes. He also looked at urea plus the nitrification inhibitor DMPP and a urea plus a combination of the urease and nitrification inhibitor. And he's interested in how these soil physiochemical factors and actually microbial factors influence the efficiency of these compounds. In this talk, he's only got two soils that he's looked at so far, but the process obviously is to look at a much broader selection of soils. Okay, so the experiment that he's provided for reporting here has looked at two soils which have got different pHs, an acidic and an alkaline soil, and different levels of carbon and different levels of nitrogen in those different soils and different CECs. He ran some microcosm experiments on these two soils. He pre-incubated the soils for a week to get the microbial population stimulated, and then he surface applied nitrogen as a solution following these five different treatments. So control, obviously no nitrogen, urea, and then urea at the same rate with the different inhibitor compounds added into it, and those inhibitor compounds are added based on the commercially recommended rates of use. He ran all his tests here at a standard set of conditions of 25 degrees and 60% water-filled pore space over 28 days and looked at the mineral end dynamics with two-molar KCl extractions and also extracted DNA at various times over that 28 days. So looking at what he found, in the mineral nitrogen dynamics, he observed differences between his two soils in terms of the rates of urea hydrolysis, and we're looking at urea hydrolysis here as production of ammonium because he hasn't looked at urea. So in this higher carbon, low pH soil, the urea hydrolysis is quite more rapid than we have in this lower carbon soil, as you'd expect because of the lower amounts of urease that would be in those two soils. When he's put the inhibitor compounds in there, the green line is the MBPT, so we'd expect a reduction in urea hydrolysis there, and he did observe this reduction somewhat here for a few days. And with the DMPP compounds, he's also observed a slight shift, slowing down of the rate of the ammonium production. Once we get past urea hydrolysis and we're looking at nitrification, we do see here that with the DMPP compounds, whether that's singly or with the MBPT, there is more retention of ammonium, suggesting a slowdown of the nitrification process. In the lower carbon, higher pH soil, the processes of urea hydrolysis is slower here, and he's got more impact on the urea hydrolysis with the green urea the MBPT product shown by this green line. And he's also got inhibition with the DMPP and the MBPT and an impact on nitrification rates there. So we found that this lower carbon, high pH soil caused more delay in urea hydrolysis and the inhibitors appear to be more effective. When we look at nitrate formation, we can see here that the inhibitors, the pink and the blue are the ones with the DMPP in them, having an impact on nitrification in both situations. Nitrification rates were much slower in this lower carbon high pH soil, which was kind of not what we'd expect. We would have expected it to be higher in the higher pH soil, but we think this is related to the microbes involved in the process. And in the higher carbon, low pH soil, we had 53% reduction in nitrate formation and 50% in the lower carbon soil, so quite similar. So slower nitrification compared to in this soil compared to the higher carbon soil, and these nitrification inhibitor compounds have worked to reduce nitrification. Okay, looking at what he saw with his gene copy numbers, this is USC, so this is the gene encoding for urea hydrolysis. We can see that there's a reduction associated with the use of these three inhibitor products, so the urease inhibitor, the nitrification inhibitor, and the combined inhibitors have reduced the USC relative to the urea alone. And that's occurred across the whole time. If we look at AOB, so this is the gene encoding nitrification, this is for the bacteria, so the ammonium monooxygenase in the bacteria, we can see here that there is, at day 7, we have this impact of the nitrification inhibitor and the urease inhibitor and the nitrification inhibitor and combined inhibitors on day 7 with this, in this particular soil, but we don't have any difference before that time or later on. If we look at the AOA, so this is the archaea, we see that there's an increase in archaeal growth to day 7 in this soil, indicating that they're responding to the nitrogen in the system, but there was no significant difference on each day between treatments. And so this is important in terms of this soil being more acidic. We would expect to have more of this archaeal population in there. Looking at the more alkaline soil, if we look at the URC genes, we see that, there's no significant effect of the different treatments on that gene copy numbers over time, but we see a slight reduction in the gene copy numbers indicating that the urea hydrolysis process has continued, or has sort of, urea has been hydrolyzed, and therefore by day 28 we wouldn't expect so much of this. The UC in this one was lower in the more alkaline soil, and that's where we saw this lower lower and slower rate of urea hydrolysis. No significant treatment effect here as well. If we look at the AOB in this soil, we see that there's a significant effect over on day 28 in this soil, where they're impacted by the urease inhibitor, green column, the nitrification inhibitor, and the combination of those two inhibitors. We had more AOB in this soil than we did in the more acidic soil, which is what we'd expect to have a greater number of the bacteria in these soil. Looking at the AO gene copy number, in the previous soil, you may have remembered that at day 7 there was higher AOA, whereas in this one the AOA has not responded to the nitrogen, and that sort of reflects the fact that we saw higher AOB in this soil, so the bacteria is more dominant than the archaea in this soil in terms of responding to nitrogen. But again, no clear impact of the inhibitors on this on the archaea in this soil. All right, so trying to summarise all those results, we found that the NBPT compound inhibited urea hydrolysis, which we'd expect because that's been seen over many studies, and it depended on the type of soil. The pH of the soil was important in terms of how that responded, and the organic carbon content. We found it appeared that the DMPP could affect urea hydrolysis. The USC gene copy numbers were lower when we had this DMPP and NBPT compared to urea. But I think that we need some more explanation around what's happening, whether it's... Obed's just measured DNA, so he hasn't looked at actually any of the RNA, the activity of these microbes in these soils. Nitrification was greater in the more acidic soil, so we think that they've got more archaea involved in nitrification in that soil than we do in the more alkaline soil. And both compounds, the DMPP plus, with the DMPP plus the NBPT, inhibited nitrification. As I said, we think the archaea dominate in the acidic soil and the bacteria in the high pH soil. So if you have any questions and beyond here, here's Obed's email address that you can contact him to ask him any questions. Thank you. All right. I am happy to answer questions, but if they're beyond my knowledge, that's fine.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.